this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It's great to be with you on this Monday, and this is Trinity Week Part 2. Sorry that last week was cut a little bit short, but a lot of sickness been going on in this family, but hopefully we're heading out of the woods here this week. Today we're going to talk about Christ as the Word, that very popular phrase in the John's account. Just about every Greek student, one of the first things they ever learn is the first verse of the account of John, the Gospel of John, commonly called, where we read about Christ as the Word. Now, to get started here, I just want to make a comment. The term here, the Word, is a figure of speech where a likeness is assumed. In other words, the Lord is like a word spoken by God, telling us what's on God's mind. That's what words are for, to tell us what's on our minds. We can't communicate with each other effectively without using words, and so the Word tells us what's on God's mind. However, when we read John verses 1 through 5, we have to keep something in mind. When we read these verses, we have to keep the Hebrew Scriptures in mind. John connects the Son of God with the Scriptures that were written before He became flesh. That being said, we shouldn't read John 1 in the light of mystic philosophy, like even Plato, the old philosophers in our Lord's day, used that term logos. But when they used it, it was surrounded by mysticism, and it really concealed God. It didn't reveal anything. These were philosophers groping in the dark, as Acts 17 tells us. So we have to connect John 1 with God's revelation. Again, the logos of philosophy was nothing but darkness. It was the reasoning of those groping in the dark. However, the logos of John is light, and it teaches us truth and brings us to a knowledge of God, which ultimately leads us to admire God and to love Him. And that's really the purpose of God's revelation. God longs to be known. He wants to reveal Himself to us. And unfortunately, we do all we can as humans to try to conceal God, either by our poor translating or by bringing into Scriptures philosophy and foreign elements. So let's ask God to reveal Himself to us through His pure Word. So John introduces us to the means of knowing God in John 1, and that is His Word. Now, before John wrote, God did reveal Himself in a measure to through the Hebrew Scriptures to the Hebrew people. He did write those things, and God was revealed in the Hebrew Scriptures. So what does John do is that he connects those Scriptures with his subject, the Word. Now, in John chapter 1, in most of the versions, I really can't find a good version on this except the Concordant version and maybe some Greek interlinears, but they hide the truth here. The common version reads that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, with God and was God. Now, that translation obscures the truth. Something can't be with itself. Let me repeat, something can't be with itself. The word with implies that it's different, and the word was implies identity. However, I want to read to you John 1 in the Concordant version. In John chapter 1, we read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God, and God was the Word. So the Concordant version reads here that the Word was toward God. This verse, in short, is not saying that the Word is near God or in association with God, but that the Word is directed toward God. We have this thought in John chapter 13, and I'm going to turn there right now. In John chapter 13, we have this phrase in verse 3, where it says, Jesus, being aware that the Father has given all into His hands, and that He came out from God and is going away to or toward God. Same word there in John 13. Also in John chapter 1, we see this phrase a couple times, this use of this word toward. In John, just in this very first chapter, in verse 29, I believe it is, verse 29, we read this, on the morrow He is observing Jesus coming toward Him. That's the same word in verse 1, toward Him. Jesus was coming toward Him. And verse 42, and He led Him toward Jesus. That's verse 42. And then in verse 47, we read this, Jesus perceived Nathanael coming toward Him. So it's the same thought. The Word was toward God. So when we translate this as the common versions have it, as the Word was with God, it doesn't convey the purpose of the Logos, the Word. But the Word was toward God. It points to God. That's what the Word does. The Word directs people to God. Now, isn't that what the Word is supposed to do? So we see that having the Word with God doesn't convey the purpose of John here, but toward God does. The Word points us in the direction of God. That is the real function of the Word. So this phrase, logos, the word that John uses, is an umbrella term for the Hebrews. In that description, the word, Christ, represents all the visible manifestations and titles of Yahweh in the Hebrew Scriptures. Christ as the Word is Elohim and Yahweh and all the other titles of God in the Hebrew Scriptures. So what is John doing here? John is bridging the gap between the Hebrew Scriptures and the incarnation of Christ. And notice too here in John 1, it says, in the beginning was. It's in the past tense. In the beginning was. That is, in the Old Testament, the Word was toward God. Now, He has become flesh. Again, I can't stress this enough. Remember that God can't be seen or heard. Now, no matter how hard we try, we can't see Him or hear Him. But thankfully, the Word is the only thing that can point us toward God. When Abraham heard Yahweh in Genesis 18, he was actually hearing His Word, His Logos. So too Adam as he walked in the garden. So Isaiah when he had that vision. The God who spoke to the Hebrews in the Hebrew Scriptures and whose voice shook the mountain, that was the Logos. And that's why John ends verse 1 with this phrase, and God was the Word. That's how the Concordant Version has it. God was the Word. The God these Hebrews knew was the Logos in the past. God is invisible. The Logos was visible. And just as the bread represented Christ's body when He said, "This is my body, this represents my body," so the Logos is God. The Logos represents God. So in conclusion, John is not trying to teach us the identity of the Word as the God. Just the title itself, Logos, denies that. What John is showing us is that the same mediator, the God of Scripture, the true God used in the past, is now flesh. The God who appeared of old in the Hebrew Scriptures is become flesh to finish the revelation that He started back then. That is the point of John here in John's account in verse 1 through 5 here. Well, this is all I have time for today. We're going to come back with more on this topic tomorrow, Christ and His relationship to the Father. And it's good to have an understanding of this, to appreciate what God has done for us, and it'll give us joy and peace and give us light and understanding into God, and will remove all the mystic language that has effectively concealed the knowledge of God. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. You have a great day. Remember this, the closer we draw near to God through the correctly cut and correctly translated Scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.